Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot as always. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. In 15 minutes, we will get into two bowl games that are still going to kick off. One this hour with Tennessee and Illinois. Bottom of the hour, Paul Stone's going to join the program, professional sports bettor. We'll get his thoughts on tonight and beyond. For the bowl season, and right now we start the hour by going out to the Progressive guest line as Bruce Murray joins the program, host of the Sirius XM Blitz on Sirius XM Radio, and he is an NFL awards voter. Follow him on X at Bruce Murray NFL. Bruce, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well.
Good,
so as a voter, where were you at with the MVP last night before the game, and then where are you at with it as of today?
So I've been asked that a lot. Let me preface this. I think you got to be real careful as a postseason voter to get caught up in one result. I mean, let's say this game was played back in September. Mm-hmm. We would have forgotten it by now, but it's so fresh in our memory that we have to now adjust our thinking. I mean, this award, as you guys know, is given out after playing 17 full football games. It's not after one game. It's not after four games. It's 17 games. There's still another week left. I don't want to say it's a statistical award. Obviously, that plays a big role in it. You've got to use your eyeballs and the path here. Obviously, yeah, last night impacted Matthew Stafford, but for those that think, oh, Matthew Stafford just lost and Drake May won it, I'm not willing to go there just yet. That's not where I stand.
That is a very logical answer. And for the people who I thought overreacted and said, oh, terrible game by Stafford, you got to give it to May now. Well, again, to your point, it's a full season award. He now has 8 interceptions on the year. That's the exact number of INTs that Drake May has.
Yeah, not only did he look again, we're going to balance statistics against, you know, the games that are played. And you've got to use your eyeballs with these things. I mean, it's not an exact science. You guys know that. I mean, we're going to have 50 voters and not all of us are going to see things the same way. Some voters are going to, and I may be one of them, that's going to take into account Drake May's schedule, mm-hmm. which, as you guys know, was one of the weakest schedules in the last 35 years in the National Football League.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at wins and losses. I saw Matthew Stafford maybe be the best player on the football field in a loss to Seattle about 11 days ago. So, you know, it can't be one specific thing. Some of it's born out of conversations you have with people you respect. Some of it's going back and looking how they did in certain moments. But it's not simply, oh, he's got 8 interceptions, he's got 40 touchdowns, he's got 33, he's got a better quarterback rating. There's more factors than that, and I think you have to include all of them.
Well said. Do you also think that hurts Vrabel's chances for Coach of the Year, what you said on one of the easiest schedules in 35 years, and the fact coming into the season they were favored in 11 games?
I don't think I won't say necessarily hurts his chances, but I think you'd be irresponsible if you didn't count that as part of your equation. You'd have to think about, okay, who's overcome more? You guys know this. The coach of the year, it's normally the team that had the terrible season that overachieves mm-hmm. a year later. And no question, the New England Patriots are the poster child for that, 4 wins to where they are right now. But, you know, I think if you're going to do this responsibly, and I do believe that I, along with the other 49 voters, do so, you know, what did Liam Cohen do for Trevor Lawrence in that running game? And what was their schedule and their path here? They went to Denver and won a big football game a couple of weeks ago. I think Sean Payton's in the conversation. I think, obviously, what's going on with Ben Johnson in Chicago in the conversation. Listen, how about Kyle Shanahan? You know, no Nick Bosa, no Fred Warner for a good part of the year. Have we forgotten that they traded Deebo Samuel and didn't get a snap out of Brandon Ayuk and maybe the number one seed? You know, I personally think Coach of the Year is the toughest award to give out. I really do. I think there are so many worthy candidates. But I don't think it's simply, okay, who improved their win total from one year over to the next? Again, like the MVP, there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Totally fair. And in terms of like betting this thing and coming down to the conclusion of, okay, this is going to be the guy, there are, I don't know, by my count, at least 7 great candidates this year. And it's going to be very difficult to do this. How much would you factor in overall? And you brought it up there with Shanahan. But the amount of guys that the star power, Bruce, that he lost the entire time, losing Purdy, he doesn't even qualify, but he's the highest graded quarterback in the entire league at this point, didn't play enough games to qualify, and the list goes on and on with the star power that he lost this year.
No question. I mean, listen, they won five games with the backup quarterback. Now, that backup quarterback was a former first-round pick, Mac Jones, obviously, so you know he has some talent. But, you know, this is a league where your starter goes down. Usually you're hoping to just tread water until your starter come back. They were 5-3 in the eight games that Mac Jones played. You know, Christian McCaffrey's been outstanding, obviously, but it's not like he's been a dominant, the only dominant force they've had on the weekends. The system's been great. I think all of that, overcoming adversity, the records that you have and the schedule that you play, and let's be fair, if you play out west, you're playing a brutal schedule. Just if you play inside your own division, excluding the games against the Cardinals, that's all taken into account. Again, we're not tipping our hand here. I'm just saying that Kyle Shanahan, to me, is on a very short list of guys who are going to get great consideration.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you there, and if you don't want to say I totally get it. Maybe you can't even say it, but if you were leaning one way or the other, would it be Shanahan? And if you have no comment, I get it.
Yeah, we have guidance from the AP that we are not allowed to tip our hands prior to the award being announced, you know, at the honors coming up, you know, the Super Bowl week. So I can't do that, guys.
Okay. What about Rookie of the Year? Do you think Tyler Shuck is going to have a big enough sample size of games to warrant a vote here?
You know, that is a really great question. I think here's what Tyler Shuck benefits from. I think Tyler Shuck benefits from the fact that there's not a guy that has established himself as a can't miss. Six games into the season, what were you guys saying? Well, Ibuka's the offensive rookie of the year, right? In the lock. Can't lose that award. He's been a ghost the last 6 weeks. So he's kind of played himself back to the pack. Then you have a guy like Tet McMillan, who has been more consistent from start to finish. But again, it's not eye-popping. Now he's challenged by the quarterback that he's playing with. So do you take that into account? Tyler Warren in Indianapolis. I think we have a year. If we had a 1,600-yard running back, if we had a 1,300-yard receiver, I think it would have been a lot harder on Tyler Shuck to play himself back into the conversation. I think given that he's won his last four, given that he took over with enough time to play enough games and what they've done in his presence, I think he's back in the conversation, and I think he's got a lot of momentum. And listen, it may be decided in Week 18 when they play the Atlanta Falcons. If he finishes on a five-game winning streak, he's going to get a lot of support.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that unfolding. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Bruce Murray. You can follow him on X. He's at Bruce Murray, NFL host of the SiriusXM Blitz on SiriusXM Radio. I brought this up to a buddy of mine, and he bet on Brock Bowers to win the Rookie of the Year last year. A tight end has never won the award. To your point, Bruce, if Brock Bowers was a rookie this year, based on what he did a season ago, he would be the first ever tight end to win it. He would run away with this award, probably.
100%. Wouldn't be close. What we saw him do last year was nothing short of extraordinary. 100% he would be your offensive Rookie of the Year. That's what I mean. There's no Brock Bowers that's shattering records that have stood for 60 years. In this year's class. We thought we could see it again with Ibuka with the start that he got off to, but he's leveled off significantly. You know, nobody's had those. We haven't had, an offensive rookie of the month three times the way, you know, some guys have done in the past. It's just been, I hate to say an ordinary class, but listen, when I sat down to start to do some due diligence, I was thinking about some offensive tackles because there hasn't been that explosive guy. I mean, I think we'll get a 1,000-yard guy, but there's no guarantee of that. That's why Shuck's in the conversation.
Do you think Offensive Player of the Year is down to two guys now, the game that is going to be played on Saturday night between Jackson Smith and Jigba and Christian McCaffrey, or is Puka still alive? Is Bijan Robinson still alive with the game that he had last night?
I think that, listen, and I don't take quarterbacks out of the equation either. You know, I mean, I think Dak was, you know, in the conversation for a little while. I think Puka Nacua is still in the conversation. And if we're going to look at team records, which I don't think you can when it comes to guys like that, you've got to, you know, you've got to say, okay, well, let me look at the merits of the individual. And he's had an extraordinary year. I mean, heck, if he makes that catch last night, which looked like a catch when he first made it, you know, they may win that football game. And all of a sudden we're talking about that extraordinary play. I think JSN may be the leader in the clubhouse right now. For a team, when you look at how overwhelming his numbers are for a team that doesn't have too many other weapons and he's still so effective, I mean, what has he had? You know, 1.5 games where you'd say, what happened to JSN? The rest are off the charts. I think he's the leader in the clubhouse. McCaffrey is there in the conversation, and I mentioned some of those other names. I don't know that it's necessarily decided Saturday night, though.
Okay, fair enough. We started MVP. Let's close there. How much will it mean to you that May could potentially be on the one seed, and yet a non-division winning quarterback hasn't won the award since 2008, and that's the spot that Matthew Stafford's now in?
I want to be careful because the quarterback is the one position. First of all, I hate to say it, but the MVP has for the most part become a quarterback award. Yeah. You guys would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are other guys in the conversation, but those guys touch the football every snap, every football game. They dictate the outcome of the game more than anybody else. Now, if you get a Barkley with, 2,000 yards, if you get a Derrick Henry with 2,000 yards, other guys can creep into the conversation. We don't have that this year. I've heard people suggest Myles Garrett. Look, I don't know what the odds are on Myles Garrett, but I think you'd be making a mistake if you're not betting on him to be the defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. But most valuable player, I don't think he's going to get a lot of support. Now, we have to vote for the top five. You'll see him on lists. You'll see him fourth. You'll see him fifth, et cetera. But it's a quarterback's award. I know quarterback is the one position where we gauge record. We don't talk about the wide receivers, winning record. We don't talk about the running backs winning record. Quarterback, we do. So it does play a role. But again, I think you have to evaluate how the guys did, even in some of the losses. Stafford last night in his loss, he was part of the problem. Make no mistake. But there have been some losses that they've had where he wasn't. So I don't think that precludes him, even in a year where he's not going to be the best in his division.
Totally agree. Bruce, that was some dynamite perspective. Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate that.
Anytime, guys. Happy to be here.
There you go. Bruce Murray, host of the SiriusXM Blitz on SiriusXM Radio. Follow him on X. He's at Bruce Murray NFL. We'll kick that around coming up, and we'll play you some audio from another voter who thinks the odds are out of whack. Overreaction to last night, next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I know, man. I really like that spot right there with Bruce Murray, host on SiriusXM, NFL Awards voter. He was logical, right? He did not overreact to anything that really took place last night. I like what he said about Stafford not being his fault. And now, he admitted last night, clearly Stafford was bad last night. We can all agree on that. But full season to date and a bunch of those games, not his fault in the Seattle game, among others. And that's the way. And he also brought up, if that game was played like at a non-primetime game in September, nobody would be thinking about the game. Nobody would be. But so I thought that was really well done out of him. We're getting a great reaction from that, by the way, saying the same exact thing.
Well, it's a long season, and everyone's going to have a stinker. And Drake May lost to the Raiders and the Steelers. He also had a pick six against the Bengals and struggled in that game, too. You can only go with one guy. But I think this reminds me of Miami and Notre Dame, that these odds are out of whack, and the Dustin Sweetelson tweet is phenomenal. Stafford against teams with a winning record, 20 touchdowns, one interception. May, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's beat one team with a winning record. That is astonishing.
Yep.
Now, that could help him once it's, like Bruce said, though, once it's all said and done. Because Carolina wins and Baltimore wins, then it's 9-8 for both of them, and that jumps up to 3.
Sure.
But right now, to think you've played one of the easiest schedules in 35 years, I didn't go as far as Dustin would, quote, put great job putting on the Jets, though, Drake. But it's just, it goes back to also, are they going to hold this seed against them, which I don't think they'll do because everyone has all this information available to them and will realize that Stafford has the better numbers and you can't even compare the schedules at the end of the day.
Yeah. So he's one guy, one person out of 50. You don't know, are 40 people thinking like he is? 10? Like, what's that number? That's the tricky part about this. But if a majority of people are thinking of like he is, then there's pretty good value right now in Matthew Stafford to win the MVP. Here's another voter. This is from FanDuel TV. Kay Adams has a vote and said, are we getting a little ahead of ourselves here with what happened with May in the betting market last night?
Are we getting a little carried away here? You guys getting a little boozy Susie towards the end of the year over there with your algorithms, you overlords making these lines and stuff? I don't know. I think it should be more of a close neck and neck situation, don't you? Not this overwhelming. It's minus 475 in favor of Drake right now. I don't know about that. One performance should not offset Stafford's entire body of work to such a severe degree, in my opinion. He has 9 more touchdowns than the next closest quarterback. Drake's deserving of the love, yes, and do what you want to do on FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's not disrespect Stafford.
Very good.
There's a second voter.
Good points.
Or Orlovsky again on Twitter last night. He has a vote. He pointed out the difference in schedules. And again, that...
It's night and day. It is alarming. One guy, Houston, Philly, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Seattle. The other guy, Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Buffalo twice.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to Buffalo the second time. Blew the game at home. Not entirely his fault, but as he said, they quit playing in a bad half. And the other thing, the timing stinks for Stafford. But then again, May could be average against Miami. They could win a close game, and Stafford could light it up against... I expect them to light it up.
So do I.
Against Arizona.
You brought up a great point. What if the Patriots-Raiders game happened on Sunday?
Oh, forget it.
Not week one.
Right. Forget it.
Right? Then you want an overreaction?
Out of sight, out of mind. No one talks about it. I know.
Sure.
This is one of the worst teams I've seen in a long time. They're going to go 2-15.
And by the
way... Somehow they beat the Patriots on the road.
I must point out, like, this sounds like we're crushing... Like May is a quarterback, not what we're doing here. I love the kid. I think he's a blast to watch. I think he might throw the prettiest pass overall and one of the prettiest deep passes in the league right now. And the kid has been phenomenal. And
well, you can't reason with New England people either.
Oh, no.
That's
any
the other
fan
thing.
Base,
we're
really,
a sports betting network. You must take the plus money on Stafford.
You have to. You absolutely must. And I do think there's a chance this kid can like be a superstar over the next decade. Who knows? That might be an overreaction on my part. But this is, again, Dan Orlovsky. Who's got a vote? TD passes against 11-plus win teams in 2025. Matthew Stafford has 20, most in the history of the sport.
Mm.
51 players have at least one. 52-plus with zero. May is in that group. Now, again, he points out, in parentheses, not a knock on him, just context of competition. Anyway, so... There is that, and look, I would love it if Drake May were to win the award, but I'm absolutely gobbling up Matthew Stafford to, you know, lock in a bet here just in case he does, and I think Stafford's probably the play right now at that plus money.
Yep, totally agree. Louisiana Tech got up to 11.5. They were down 14-3 in this game. They now lead Coastal by 6.
Oh, this is not
8 minutes left. Imagine if they cover this. Man, there's time, too.
And the box score, Coastal Carolina has been crushing them the entire game. Now, Tech catching up a little bit. Coastal Carolina has a yards advantage of 323 to 257, 18 first downs to 11, and we have had 5 combined turnovers in this game. But La Tech leading when maybe shouldn't be.
2 good games coming up later today. In Nashville, Music City Bowl, Tennessee down to 3 against Illinois. Zach Cohen making the case for the over. Great write-up. The guys do a great job every day. VSiN.com with the bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And USC down to 4.5 against TCU.
Boy, they're betting
TCU
that.
TCU taking money and the quarterback's done.
Yeah.
Hoover left the program.
Hoover had 3,400, almost 3,500 yards passing this year and 29 touchdowns. Plenty of players are missing the game. They decided to opt out. Maiava is actually in for USC, but his star receivers, including Makai Lemon, they're going to be out. Down to 4? Oh, I was going to say, don't you want to take like USC on alt numbers in this game? This feels to me a little bit like what happened on Sunday with all that money on the Bills.
Yeah.
Why were they bet to 3 minus 115 or even higher on game day against the Eagles when Sirianni said he was going to play his guys, and he did. And they won the game outright. 4?
I was told that Mestemaker could wind up at TCU. I don't know, but he hit the portal, and he's going to make some money. That North Texas quarterback, I think, can play in the NFL. There's a lot of talk about will he follow Morris to Oklahoma State, but I wonder where he winds up and how much money he's going to get.
Oh, I think
this kid was a stud. And as Stanford Steve pointed out last night on Bad Beats, they blew that 23-point lead in the bowl game against San Diego State and didn't cover. The North Texas team total was unbelievable all year, how great this kid played. He didn't even play in high school. What a story.
Don't you think that TCU would be a good fit for him?
I do.
Yeah. We'd go there and put up unbelievable numbers.
But he's going to be highly sought after. And
oh, he'll get a paycheck.
And compensated well. Yes, absolutely. But yes, I'm with you on USC too. Well, you don't just Hoover had good numbers, and it's a big blow to TCU.
Look, I mean, The market is wrong once in a while, right?
All these moves have been terrible.
Absolutely, they have been.
The Army game got there. But then again, you're backing God Core Country. They're 19-3 ATS going back. The service academies always deliver in the bowls. But these other ones have been horrible. And like Brad Powers pointed out, too, these wrong in spectacular fashion with some of these moves.
I wish the Marines had a football program.
Yeah.
My cousin Jeff, awesome guy. He's in his 50s. He served. To this day, he will say Semper Fi. It's like he's a complete lunatic in the best way imaginable.
I'm trying to give you 6 months, and you give me God Core Country? It's a hockey season. Come on. What a movie.
Yeah.
Is that Rob Reiner? That was Rob Reiner. Few Good Men, I believe.
Oh, Few Good Men for sure.
What a resume he had.
I'll tell you what, you want to go back and watch another unbelievable. I
think the funeral was today. Oh,
was
man.
Full Metal Jacket. I wouldn't say that's as good as Saving Private Ryan, but that's like two movies all in one. And Full Metal Jacket is just spectacular. And that's a movie that I promise you holds up to this day. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Few Good Men, Misery.
Well,
this is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Stand By Me. He's not in the movie that long. He's great in Wolf of Wall Street, too. Remember the scene, Wolf of Wall Street?
No, I don't, with him.
He answers the phone. Who's calling here at this time of night?
Okay.
What kind of profanity-laced tirade? Hello, who is?
So the total in that Tennessee game, though, has crept up a little bit here today. The market thinks we're going to get points with that. What about a Tennessee team total over? Now, their stud receiver opted out of the game. He's getting ready for the draft. But
a lot of opt-outs.
Heupel has recruited well. They got a lot of star talent overall,
skill
position guys. And where they could, now it's up to 63 here at Circa. Yeah.
I would expect fireworks in the USC game. But I know Cohen made the case for points in the Tennessee game.
Will this number get down to 3.5 at some point? I can't imagine this get all the way down to 3 in the USC game a little bit later on today.
How about more Oregon money again? Where does this go? Oregon's up to 2.5 now.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to touch 3, but if it does, it'll probably be there for, 5 seconds?
Uh-huh. And I like what Brad Powers said, too, about with Ryan Day taking over offensive play calling duties, what the tempo's going to be like tomorrow night for the Buckeyes. So total's 40.5. Miami's 7-1 not to score a touchdown at Will Hill. What happens if you're in an accident this time of year and the other driver doesn't have insurance or nowhere near enough? Suddenly the holiday plans take a backseat to medical bills, car repairs, and missed work. That's where Lasso Injury Law steps in. They know the ins and outs of uninsured and underinsured motorist claims, and they fight to make sure you're not left paying for someone else's mistake. Lasso Injury Law is here to protect you and your family. 702-625-8777. Free consultation. No runaround. Lasso Injury Law. Your future matters. 702-625-8777.
Best bets. Paul Stone. College football coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Time to talk some college football here again. Get some best bets from longtime friend of the show, professional sports bettor / college football handicapper Paul Stone joins the program. He's on the Progressive guest line. You can follow him on X. He is at Paul Stone Sports. Happy New Year, pal. Hope you have a great night lined up for tomorrow night. You're probably going to be watching Miami and Ohio State, which you have a bet on. And the Buckeyes are laying 9.5 here in the total. Again, key number here. With football totals can be 41. I'm seeing 40.5 and 41.5. Who do you like in this game?
You know, I'll tell you, first of all, Mitch, you know, make no mistake about it. Ohio State is obviously an outstanding football team. They're the defending national champion. But the Buckeyes are not invincible, in my opinion. You look at the two top defensive teams that they played this year. Of course, the opener against Texas, they score 14 points. Fair to point out that was Julian Sayin's first career start. And then in their most recent game, they only scored 10 points in the 3-point defeat at the hands of Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. In both those games, the Buckeyes, unable to run the ball effectively, averaged less than 2.5 yards per carry against both Texas and Indiana. Those are two good rush defenses. Texas gives up 3 yards a carry this year. Indiana only 3.1, but the Canes also have a good rush defense. They are only allowing 2.9 yards per carry. Ohio State's got a great passing attack. That might be putting it quite mildly. Julian Sayin has developed nicely throughout the season. He is certainly one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football at this point. And their wide receiving core just brimming, overflowing with NFL prospects, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, just tough matchup problems for everyone. But if the Buckeyes cannot establish the run, and Miami has been very good against the run, then the Canes also have a pass rush, one of the top teams in the country at getting to the quarterback, 41 team sacks, 8.5 of those by Akeem Mezador, 7.5 by Reuben Bain Jr. Both those guys going to be high draft choices in the upcoming NFL draft. So they can, you know, they can get to the quarterback. You remember the game last week against Texas A&M. Texas A&M's got a good offensive line, no question about it. They sacked Marcel Reed 7 times, had 9 tackles for loss. So this is a great Miami defense. They're really playing well right now. I think the key for Miami is Carson Beck. He threw 10 interceptions this year. He threw 12 interceptions last year at Georgia. He's thrown 30 career interceptions. He's been turnover prone. He has to protect the football. If he can, I think the Canes can make this a 4-quarter game, perhaps even win it. In any event, I like Miami plus 9.5 over Ohio State tomorrow night in the Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas.
Go get them, Paul. New Year's Day, Oregon, Texas Tech, Oregon up to 2.5. A lot of people criticizing Tech's schedule. What do you think here of the Ducks taking money?
Yeah, I'll say right off the bat, Paulie. I mean, you know, they have to – the non-conference schedule for Texas Tech's not tough. The conference schedule, though, they have to play the other teams in the conference. And this will be their biggest test to date for Texas Tech. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare. You know, in my eyes, these teams just dead even on paper. It's hard to distinguish which is the superior overall unit. I believe that Oregon's familiarity with the big stage, the big game, coupled with the fact that its conference, the Big Ten, has won the last 2 national championships. A very deep conference at the top of the conference. So I think based on that reason and the fact that the Big 12 has not fared well in the playoff is the reason that Oregon opened as a 1.5-point favorite in this game. They have now been bet up to 2.5 points. You look at these teams, neither has any clear weaknesses. They are equally adept on both sides of the ball. In fact, looking at 4 key team statistical categories, those being scoring offense, total offense, scoring defense, and total defense. These are 2 teams that rank in the top 10 in all 4 of those categories and the only 2 of the remaining 8 teams in the tournament that can make that claim. Of course, both these teams coming in at 12-1, the only loss for Oregon being at home in Autzen Stadium back on October 11th when they fell 30-20 to Indiana. Texas Tech, they fell the following week 26-22 at Arizona State. Important to note that in the loss to Arizona State, Texas Tech starting quarterback Bayron Morton did not play due to a knee injury. You know, when I look at Texas Tech's overall body of work, I look at the 3 marquee games or showcase games, those being the September trip to Utah and the 2 games against BYU. They outscored their opponent in those 3 games 97-24. They won each of those 3 games by 22 points or more, so they were dominant in all 3 performances. Of course, again, they are stepping up in class against Oregon, so it'll be interesting to see how Tech responds, but I think this is a really good football team. If Bayron Morton can stay healthy, not only for the duration of Thursday's game, but perhaps beyond if they have other games, Texas Tech can not only defeat Oregon on Thursday, but they can win the whole thing, in my opinion. But first things first, give me Texas Tech plus 2.5 over the Ducks Thursday in the Orange Bowl.
Quickly here, my guess is, your thought is if Texas Tech gets to actually plus 3, you're going to grab more, but we're probably not going to see this game get to 3.
I just can't imagine it getting to three because I just think the Sharps will be all over it. I think the book knows that. But I'm surprised, really, that it's gone from an opener of 1.5 to 2.5. But, yeah, if it gets to three, I don't think it's going to be at three for very long. You better jump on it.
All right, how about tomorrow morning, Iowa catching 5.5 against Vandy?
You know, this might not be a popular opinion because I know it's kind of a polarizing topic, but I think these Big Ten SEC bowl matchups mean more to the Big Ten. You know, they get tired of hearing about the SEC, people like myself who say the SEC is the best conference from top to bottom, which I think it is, not the best conference at the top because the SEC doesn't have three teams this year like Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon that can win it. They don't have three teams quite that good, in my opinion. But I do think it means more to the Big Ten teams. You look at these bowl games, and to me, the bowl season is almost like a season unto itself. It's like a standalone type of game or season. Comes down to motivation. Who wants to be there? Who wants the game more? Vanderbilt clearly had their sights set on the 12-team playoff, a spot in that playoff. Came up just short in the committee's eyes. Meanwhile, Iowa, they lost two games in September. They were never really in the playoff conversation, so they gave up those aspirations long ago. Iowa finishes 8-4 on the season, but they might be, guys, the best 8-4 team in the country. All four of their losses by 5 points or fewer to teams ranked in the top 20 at the time of the game. Not only those four losses by 5 points or fewer, those four losses, I should point out, were to Iowa State, Indiana, Oregon, and Southern Cal before I go to my next point. But those four losses, they led in three of those four losses in the fourth quarter, and they were tied in the fourth quarter in the other loss. So they could have won any or all four of those games. Kurt Ferentz, he's a coach who's done an exceptional job in this new era of college football in keeping the opt-outs at a minimum during the bowl season. I think he's done that again this year. I don't think they're going to have many opt-outs. I don't think Vanderbilt's going to have many opt-outs either. But, man, did they have a big one on Sunday when tight end Eli Stowers announced, hey, I'll be at the game, but I'll be in street clothes. I'm not going to be playing. Stowers is Diego Pavia's favorite target without question. 62 catches this year, 769 yards, 4 touchdowns. Here's his security blanket. They go back to New Mexico State, played there together in Las Cruces in 2021, 2022 with Jerry Kill. When Kill comes to Nashville as a consultant, Pavia and then Stowers follow him. But I think Diego Pavia will be missing Eli Stowers on Thursday in this bowl game. Iowa, they've lost their last two bowls. Some guys played on both those teams. I think they want a bowl victory. They are 4-0 again this year against the spread as the betting underdog. I think they make it 5-0 against the spread. I like Iowa plus 5.5 over Vanderbilt Thursday in Tampa, rather Wednesday tomorrow in Tampa.
Great analysis, my man. Best of luck. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Hey, same to you guys. Have a great week of watching college football. Happy New Year to everyone. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Paul Stone with us.
Oregon had issues moving the ball against the three top 15 defenses they faced. Mm-hmm. The big plays vanished. Good write-up today on ESPN.com about that. And Texas Tech's got a great defense. It's a hell of a game. Looking forward to that one.
Agreed.
And we're here, New Year's Day, Rose Bowl, in-play betting. Alabama catching 7, supposed to rain. Start time moved up to 1 o'clock, thank God. Full regular programming both days. Spend your New Year with VSiN, the nonstop home for sports bettors. Count down the New Year. Kick off 2026 with us on VSiN.
Up next, we're going to grab a slice inside of our pizzeria, some long shot bets that would pay off. And this 102-1 shot from Ron is a beauty. Details on that coming up next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Hungry for a winner? Sometimes all you need is a slice.
You make this pizza?
We swap pepperoni for parlays and give you alternate lines instead of anchovies.
I'm telling you, this pizza idea is really going
to
happen.
From our kitchen to your wallet, sweat with us and throw some pizza money on it.
Double meatball, pepperoni, sausage, peppers, onions, extra mozzarella.
Welcome to Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria.
It's sponsored by Mama's Pizza. Mama's Pizza, the only place where your pizza money always gets you a win. Check them out, mamaspizzas.net and Mama's Pizza on Instagram. And if you're going to the Ohio State-Miami game, there's a location half a mile from Jerry's World. Let's go. I asked for the Shuck tickets, and you guys came through. We start with Ron. Love the show. Wanted to add a future bet. I remember you guys talking about Ben Johnson's a great coach, and losing him will make the Lions worse. I thought it made sense, so I bet an exacta. Bears first, Packers second, Brewers win the division. That's already in. 102-1.
Well, it's a winning ticket.
That's a winning ticket.
Great job. Again, the creativity that we get every single week on this show. Awesome. It's great.
Love the exactas. Chris in Massachusetts, July of 2025. Sinner won Wimbledon. 49ers one seed. Cavs win the East, though. 83-1. Well, if you get a Niners win, the Cavs are playing better. They beat the Spurs. They were up 17 at the Garden on Christmas. They got to get their act together, but at least you're seeing some positives out of Cleveland. Okay. And I know the seed won't matter to them. They'll probably get like a five or a six the way it looks.
Is there a way to hedge this ticket already?
You can put a little bit on Seattle, yeah.
A little bit on Seattle.
Yeah.
On the game. Then if that loses, you know, you can always find a no price on the Cavaliers or just maybe fade them in the playoffs as well.
Yeah. Going to be tough without home court, but you never know. He also has Shuck. Offensive Rookie of the Year, 14-1. One of many. Greg, November 11th, watches on Masson. Pistons to win the division. Big favorites. Seahawks win the NFC. Orioles World Series, 936-1.
Okay, but the Pistons back on November 11th were not huge favorites to win their division.
Right, yeah.
The Seahawks clearly to win the NFC back then. It was coming down, but still not where it is today. And the Orioles have made some pretty significant upgrades to their roster this year.
Yeah. Good job. Eric in Virginia, December 23rd. Indiana wins it all. Jags win the AFC, Texas Tech college basketball, 1,284-1.
Well, here's
Tech had that huge win a week ago.
Yeah, they did. And, okay, so get there first with Indiana winning the playoff. Certainly feasible. The team's awesome. Cignetti coaching edge pretty much against any team that he takes on.
I would love that.
I think the AFC is completely wide open, which means, under this scenario, the Jags can make a run. Like, if he gets the first two in, you're holding Texas Tech at 1,284-1 to win. You can then start to just, like...
Good seed, all that, yeah.
For sure.
Ryan, Spurs win the West, Cavs win the East, Ohio State makes the title game. Big Ten wins
March Madness.
Interesting. 567-1.
Well, that's another one where the Cavaliers to win the Eastern Conference is going to be the trickiest one probably there is.
They are letting a lot of people down. Tim on X. Ohio State makes the title game. He has a UFC fight that already won. Vrabel coach of the year. The Mammoth make the playoffs. SGA MVP, who's $5 now with the Joker injury. 35-1.
Oh, man.
Not bad. Where the Mammoth at?
He only needs the Mammoth. Well, no. He needs the SGA MVP and the Mammoth to make. That's it.
Oh, they make the play. I read that wrong.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
They make the title. Ohio State make the title game. Yeah. Not make the play. My fault.
Oh, okay. So
it's make the title game.
So he needs four of the five then to come in. All but right. He's looking pretty good on a bunch of them. I mean,
Utah's about 539 points.
And honestly, I have no idea. He's the betting favorite. I have no idea if Rabel's going to win coach of the year.
Rich in Canada has done it again. Rich in Canada had an incredible baseball season, hit numerous tickets, and he has them, still has them going. Phillies, Brewers, Blue Jays all won their division. He needs to close it out with the Buccaneers, 98-1. And now he's got to get an Atlanta loss on top of winning Saturday. Oh.
He just needed basically to hedge out of that, he needed the Falcons to lose the game last night.
He can lay 390 if he wants with Carolina
It's the worst case scenario here.
Yeah, I know. He has Patriots, Texans, Ravens, Broncos division, 230-1. Yeah, he's got two in. He needs Jacksonville to... Tennessee to shock the world.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then he's got something to hedge, though, Sunday night then. Highly unlikely, but a good run. Peter, Buckeyes repeat, Shuck Rookie of the Year, UConn Final Four, Abs win the West, 112-1. Love it. That's awesome.
What's going to be the biggest hurdle there?
Probably UConn. I would say UConn Final Four, but it's a hell of a ticket.
I like the idea, by the way, of the legs that we're starting to get with teams just to make the Final Four.
That's a good one.
That's good. But also, like, is Shuck going to win Rookie of the Year?
I think so. McMillan has done nothing. Going back. Yes,
I wonder how many people are going to look at it and say, again, enough sample size here.
Well, we're getting close, though. They beat 10 games, and they close on a winning streak?
Well, if they beat the Falcons, then he's good. Cooking, man.
The real Mr. ACL on X. Always is creative with these. Gives them out for gifts. Panthers plus 2.5. The spread.
That was against the Hurricanes in a hockey series.
Thunder to repeat. 49ers win the Super Bowl. Boosted to 36-1. One of the first ones already in.
No, the Thunder's already in
Thunder's
as well.
Already
that was last
in.
Year.
Okay, it was last year Thunder. He just needs the 49ers at 36-1. Well, it's a huge game Saturday night. It'd be enormous to get the one seed. You win one game, and then you could get Fred Warner back. Oh, suddenly that's a great ticket. Andrew LaRocca has a couple of these. Rams Super Bowl, Arizona College Hoops, Scheffler Masters, Avs win the West, 782-1. He also has Arizona, Colorado, Rams, and Aubert. And Aubert's already in. He wanted $25 to win $53,000.
Oh,
sent the ticket in on X. Good job, Andrew.
Yeah, but now he's got to be sweating big time with the Rams and how they're trending right now.
Yeah.
Matt, did you see the one at Colin, by the way? Texans Super Bowl. Michigan to win it in college hoops. DeChambeau Masters pays almost 1,100-1.
Wow. Good job, Colin. And we close with Shuck. December 9th, Schwann Nation, 250-1. Cal, December 8th, 250-1. Ryan, 200-1. All on Shuck. Offensive Rookie of the Year. The second choice, and McMillan is leaking oil. You got a great shot there, guys.
I really hope he pulls it off.
You got to fade Henderson, too, Sunday. Okay, you don't want him to have like 102 scores against Miami.
I'm not writing Henderson off.
I can't do it.
You can't. I have written Egbuka off. How does he win?
That's right. I'm with you.
He's disappeared for 2 months.
Can't give it to him.
Warren's not going to win. Fannin, man. Fannin's awesome.
He is.
I don't think he can win.
Mama's Pizza has your back. Feeding hungry Texans since 1968. The crust, the garlic butter on the crust. It's on steroids. It's awesome. And the ingredients, the pies and the flavor, that's a guaranteed winner. A pound of mozzarella on every large pie. Franchise opportunities are available if you're thinking long-term value. Check them out, mamaspizzas.net. Again, 0.5 mile from Jerry's World football fans and also World Cup fans. 817-870-2571. Incredible pizza, awesome wings. 817-870-2571. Mama's Pizza.
How about this? They keep coming in on X right now. At VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. This is from Lawrence. He's a local. He bets at a lot of them at station casinos. The Dodgers to win the NL, already a winner. The Ducks to win the college football title. And the Rams just to win the NFC, 152-1. He loves doing these cross-sport parlays and has a ton of good ones that he always chimes in when we're actually live on the air.
All right.
That's very good. And stations out here, by the way, is a good spot to do those because they'll allow a lot of it. And now here's more. Jesse on Shuck. Bet him on, I'm trying to find the date. Doesn't say it on the ticket, but there's another one at 250-1.
You were on vacation.
Got him twice.
Great. You were on vacation. We had Mike D'Attilier on. And he said, don't waste your money with a Shuck ticket because the team's bad. And
was this preseason?
It was in the summer.
Preseason, huh? Yeah.
And then with the ticket, it's just to think he could be able to pull this off after how well he's played here and how well the team's played.
By the way,
touchdown Tennessee.
Yeah, up immediately here. Glad I didn't bet the team total to go over.
Shuck, sorry.
The Shuck stuff? No, that was me pissing myself for not betting the team total over. I said that sarcastically. He did that again on Sunday without...
I know, everyone's out.
Everybody's out.
Just throwing to Olave.
That's
it. Can't stop it.
He's got Olave and Juwan Johnson for a little bit, and that's pretty much the only dudes we're talking about.
Absolutely, 100% typical Atlanta. They lose this game Sunday. I'm even more confident if Tampa Bay wins, that this will somehow work out for Tampa Bay.
Well, you're going to really, I'm going to call you Babe Ruth moving forward, because you said this before Sunday. This might have been on the tailgate show when you said this is going to be typical Mike Tomlin. They will lose to the Browns and beat Baltimore.
Yeah. Be typical Harbaugh.
No.
Another one, too.
All right. We are living in a never-ending overreaction matrix. We both believe there's a way to take advantage of it. We'll tell you what it is next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.